I think it's a good place to meditate now. Where spirit is, there is no opposite. Spirit is everywhere. Everywhere there is no opposite. Only spirit is. That is the name and identity behind every visible person, creature, object, animal, flower, tree, river, mountain, star, or sun. Behind every visible is the reality of it, which is invisible spirit. And that invisible spirit is all that is there. As the world mind brings forth these surface impressions which we call matter, we have been lulled into accepting them as reality. But they are but a shadow. The mental picture of the cosmic mind projected from its concept about the everywhereness of spirit, which is all that is present. That shadow mind, that cosmic shadow mind, puts forth a shadow called the world. You are the spirit. And this is your kingdom. And you are the king in this kingdom. And you have dominion in this kingdom if you will live in it. And not let your mind be drawn into the world, except for amusement, to watch the TV images, to know while you watch them the spiritual nature of the universe without opposite. And you will feel from this why Joel repeatedly brings us that great truth that you need no power. If you think you need power to overcome anything, you don't realize yet that spirit is all that is here. And because spirit is all, there's no power that we need except that knowledge. You actually rest in the knowledge that spirit being all, I need no power to overcome the condition. The condition cannot be here. I need no power to overcome it. Just the knowledge that only spirit is here. And then wait for the realization, which takes you over what you thought you knew into a place where it knows through you. That great realization is the actual spirit of your being, Christ realized. And you see how gently it shows you why you needed no power ever. All that's here is my spirit. There never was a material anything. And in that knowledge you know why there is no power needed. That is why spirit is omnipotent. It needs no power. It is all there is. And when that comes into your realization, that's when you say, I didn't know it was that easy, that simple. And that beautiful. You need no power. Just be aware that you are a spiritual being in a spiritual universe in spite of every appearance that besets you. And it won't be long before these appearances lose all of their sense of power that they had entertained over you. There are no exceptions. With death imminent, the Christ could stand there and say, I don't take back any of my words, Pilate. I have nothing to defend against. He was calm, he was poised. He had nothing to apologize for. Simply to tell us the glorious truth that all that is present here is spirit, my kingdom. There's no Pilate. There's no soldier. There's no crucifixion coming up. Don't let them fool you. All that is here is my spirit. And I am the spirit of each one who stands before me. That is the truth of you then. Your spirit is all that is on this earth. And there is no earth. There is only your spirit where man sees the earth. That is why the earth is the Lord's, because it is all invisible spirit. And the fullness is spirit. And there are no exceptions. It is all spirit. Nothing can enter spirit to defile it, because there is nothing. We are babes in this kingdom of spirit. And what the Father has prepared for us still remains to be seen. It remains first for us to be willing to be children in the spirit. And you'll find the power of the child is greater than any mature adult in the physical world. To trust the non-power of spirit to be all that is here will enable you to react to nothing that challenges you. Because every challenge is a lie. It isn't there. No matter where it comes from, there is only one source that you recognize as being present, and that source is the everywhereness of spirit, which is you. And gently we rest in that knowledge without defense. There is no power needed, for only my spirit is present. You'll feel a turning within yourself. Let's have a brief recess. When Pilate hears, "My kingdom is not of this world," and so forth, he's quite bewildered by it. Well, he says, "Art thou a king then?" The reply of Jesus is, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world." Now this is Christ telling us the purpose of Christ. This is your own self telling your soul your function, your identity, your purpose, your way of life. This is the inner disclosure of the Christ to the soul of all who listen, of who they are and where they are and what they are doing. "To this end, this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." He has just stated the truth. "My kingdom is not of this world, but it is not from hence. It is here now. My kingdom is spirit, it is not matter. And I have come to bear witness of the truth, that my kingdom is spirit and it is not matter. And I, being yourself, have come to bear witness in you, so that if you wish to live in the kingdom of spirit, you must surrender to yourself. You cannot do it with your human mind. You must accept the identity of spirit before you can live in the kingdom of spirit. And if you're not receiving the grace of the kingdom of spirit, it is for that reason. There are no mortal beings in the kingdom of spirit. There are no human beings in the kingdom of spirit. grace only functions in the spiritual identity. And therefore, when you accept yourself to be spirit, you also accept yourself not to be its material opposite. Whoever seeks, then, the fruits of the Spirit must be spirit and not matter. I have come to bear witness of the truth. The truth is that I am the self of every individual on the earth. I am that spirit which Rome cannot crucify. And I have come to tell you that you are the spirit that Rome cannot crucify. I have come to tell you that you are the spirit that no germ can crucify, that no disease can crucify, that no material condition can crucify. That spirit I have come to attest to as the presence of your own being. This is the revelation of identity and the omnipotence, the dominion of identity, the grace of identity, the allness of spirit, and the nothingness of all that is not spirit. You quickly identify anything in this world. Is it spirit? If it isn't, it isn't there. Look again and you'll see. Something is there you hadn't noticed. The spirit of being. You hadn't noticed it because you were looking through human eyes. In your spiritual awareness of self, you will begin to feel the presence of the spiritual nature of all that is around you. You will see why you've had an affinity to some and a lack of affinity to others. There were different levels of spiritual awareness there. You'll begin to feel that great invisible force which makes all unlike itself impossible. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Whoever is living in spiritual identity hears the voice of the Christ, receives impartation, is directed by the Christ. Whoever is in spiritual identity is under grace. Hearing my voice is being under grace. That is why the complete demonstration had to first be made of immunity to the laws of matter, to the world's powers. And then the Christ could say, you have seen my immunity. It is your immunity. I have come to attest to this truth, that my immunity is because I am spiritual being. And I recognize no material world, no material power, no material person, no material condition. And therefore I walk through the world and it cannot touch me. I walk through the world of lack and limitation, never concerned about tomorrow, because I am always the living now of spirit. And that which I am doing as the living spirit, I am prepared to do in you as you accept my identity as yours. So Pilate says, what is truth? He has told Pilate the truth, and the ears that could not hear then say, what is truth? If he had stopped to answer the question, he could have said, Pilate, I'll tell you a truth you won't believe. 6 years from now, Pilate, you won't be walking this earth. You'll be what is called a corpse. You're one now, but you don't know it. 6 years from now, Pilate, they're going to call you back to Rome. And you know how you're going to die? You're going to kill yourself. You're going to commit suicide. And here you are standing here judging me today. Pilate said, what is truth of the flesh that he saw before him? It wasn't fair. He couldn't care less about what truth is, because he then turns to the crowd and says, I find no cause of evil in this man, no offense in this man. But you see the point, the human mind admits it doesn't know truth, which Pilate did when he said, what is truth? I don't know what truth is. It's the same thing as saying, well, what is truth? Even though he doesn't know what truth is, he proceeds to act anyway. Now, he's not following truth if he doesn't know what it is. And so what is he following? He's following untruth. His question is admission that he doesn't know truth. And that's the admission that the human mind does not make. But that is the truth about the human mind. It does not know truth. And not knowing truth, it proceeds to act anyway. And so its action is not based upon truth, just as Pilate's. Truth would have been, this man, if he's innocent, which I believe he is, as Pilate said, well, then he should be dismissed and released. But the human mind says, well, he's not innocent, but what of it? We have to do the wise thing here. We have to please the high priest. We can't, you know, get him against us. In fact, all the while that Pilate is making his decisions, he's got his eye on his job. Rome has been very, very angry at Pilate. He's been sort of a boob on the job. He's stumbled and bumbled, and he's made mistakes. The way he finally commits suicide is, the word gets out that there's a prophet in Samaria. This is 6 years after the crucifixion. And that this prophet says that on the top of a mountain in Samaria, Mount Gerizim, buried at the top of the tablets of Moses. And not only that, he's going to dig them up. And they set a date, and the crowds come. They're all chanting hymns and psalms. And what does Pilate do? He thinks this is terrible, so he has his soldiers planted around there. And when they tell the people to disperse, there's a sort of a bloody massacre instead. Gets back to Rome. Next thing you know, they call Pilate back. They tell him he's an irresponsible governor. He's got into so many different predicaments that could have been avoided if he had just used tact or some kind of common sense. And he's deposed. He's just taken out of his job. In fact, he's banished by this Caligula. And in that banishment in Gaul, he commits suicide. 6 years after the crucifixion. When he said, what is truth? Christ Jesus could have told him all that. He could have told him many things. But none of them would Pilate have heard, because the human mind is closed. Jesus turns away. You cannot speak truth. There's no way. Spirit is truth. And that's all there is. The poet said, beauty is truth, and truth is beauty, and that is all you need to know. But that isn't true. Beauty isn't truth. Material beauty is not truth. Material beauty fades. Material beauty can be scarred. Spirit is truth, not beauty. Spiritual beauty is truth, yes. Spirit is truth, and truth is spirit. And Pilate and 100,000 Pilates around the world have no knowledge of that truth. And so the human mind continues to act without truth. We see it as war and hate and violence and lack and limitation. Functioning without truth. This is the condition of the world. It is not saying it, but in itself it is saying, what is truth? It doesn't know what truth is, and so it functions without it. Spirit is truth. And there is no other truth. Pilate now turns to the mob. When he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? King of the Jews was a term he used because it had been placed in his mouth by the high priests, who wanted him to feel that Jesus was committing treason against the emperor by calling himself a king. When Jesus was asked by Pilate, "Are you the king of the Jews?" he says, "Thou sayest it, not I." He had no earthly kingdom, no material kingdom. They cried out at all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Again here we have to fault the translators. The beautiful symbology here is lost in the English translations of the Bible. Way back before there was an English translation, and this will startle you, the name Barabbas was Jesus. And Pilate said, "Which Jesus will you release? This one or that one?" They were both named Jesus. The church fathers got a little squeamish about it. They changed the name Jesus to Barabbas in one of them. You won't know this unless you can get hold of some early Greek editions of the Bible. And so when they named Barabbas Barabbas, they were true to the meaning of the word Jesus. It means son of the Father. That's what Barabbas means. And when you pursue that a little further, here's what comes out. It isn't one word, like it's printed in the King James Version and in many other versions. It's two. B-A-R dash. Bar means son, and Arabus means of the Father. Son of the Father. There are other, Bar Jonah, son of Jonah. Bar Joseph, son of Joseph, and so forth. And so it was brought together or elided, and it became Barabbas. But it meant son of the Father. And the symbology is, which one shall I release? Which son of the Father, this one or that one? And so when the crowd made a choice, release Barabbas, they were saying, the son of the Father who was named Jesus, don't release him. The son of the Father who is named Barabbas, release him. You see, there's only one Father, the Divine Father, and that which is not the Divine Father is the devil. In the releasing of Barabbas, they're releasing the son of the devil. When you will not release Christ in you, you automatically are releasing the son of the devil. We are each given a choice of heaven or hell. If you accept spiritual identity, you are releasing Christ. If you do not, you are releasing Barabbas. Son of the devil is the human identity which is controlled totally by the world mind. That is Barabbas. And its correct pronunciation is Barabbas, son of the devil father. Not son of the Divine Father. When we do not release Christ in ourselves, we are that Barabbas. And that's why it says Barabbas was a robber. The false sense of identity robs us of our divine heritage. Every quality of the Father, then, is present in you now, awaiting only your acceptance of Christ in you as the only self you can be. You go over with that to your neighbor, and Christ of you is the Christ of your neighbor. Finally, you've got your spiritual universe, and that's what you live in. The denials of Peter were possible because he had not yet reached the will to live in the Spirit. Annas, Caiaphas, and Pilate represent those actions in Peter which are the result of his will being still material, personal, living out of personal motives. Now then, if your will then is to live as Spirit, you'll find everything will fall into place, your identity being established as the one anchor of your life, your understanding will flow from it. The pathway to grace is the pathway to spiritual everywhereness accepted. For some of you, it may be easy to know that you are not the form, but you are the life that is invisible. Always, Christ was the life, not the form that men saw. The life that is invisible is you. And if you hold to that, you'll find you're living in your spiritual identity. The form that appears is just the automobile used to get around in. The life is never touched by the mob. The life is never touched by world thought. The life never has a tumor. The life is never sick. All illness is in your mortal sense of self, never in your life, only in your form. Just as you are spirit and not matter, you are life, not form. And this form comes under the dominion of life when you live as life. Now, if you've read Joel's chapter, I think I have the book here. The spiritual life is not the overcoming of evil, but the recognition of the nature of evil. Evil is not ordained of God. Evil has no law of God to ordain it or sustain it. Evil has no God existence, no God purpose, no God life, no God substance, or God law. It is the arm of flesh or nothingness. As long as we are praying for God power to overcome evil, we are resisting. We are not anchored in the truth. So there is no evil. Now that's important to establish. Now there are other passages in there we won't have time to discuss, but I think next time we should discuss the passages in here. And so I'm going to ask you to study this very closely in preparation for next time. Those of you who have studied it, look at it this next reading and realize that what you have heard today is the story behind what Joel was saying in the chapter, the story he couldn't put into print. I assure you, if that you heard today were in this book, not in a parable form, but directly stated, the message of the infinite way would be dead. The world wasn't able to accept that. But the message of the infinite way cannot be dead within those who know the Christ, for they hear the voice. And when you read Joel's book, that chapter, and if you're ambitious, go into living in, by, and through the Spirit as well, and when you read the Bible, remember, it is telling you that only Spirit is present. And that if you limit yourself to the mind that does not understand this, you will always release Barabbas, instead of Christ. I spoke to a woman this week, and she asked a question. And in response to the question, I told her the truth. And her reaction was, You're asking me to go too fast. Now, I'm not asking anyone to go too fast. I'm finding out who's ready to go that fast. Whoever isn't ready to go that fast is not accepting the message at its present level. We must go fast. And we cannot say, my mind has to sit here and linger on these things and decide what I want to accept and not accept. That's putting the mind there as a block. The mind has no rights. Only the spirit is present, and that's very fast. Now this week, when you read Living In, Through, and By the Spirit, and review Kingdom of God, My Kingdom Is Not of This World, remember, the kingdom which is not of this world is within you. And the kingdom within you is your spiritual self. And your spiritual self is here. It's not tomorrow. Now then, if you're living in your spiritual self, isn't it like planting a seed today? If you plant a seed today, what comes tomorrow? You get the flower, or the tree begins, something takes root. How are you going to have the tree tomorrow if you don't plant a seed today? When you're living in your spiritual self today, isn't that going to take care of tomorrow? Isn't that the meaning of sowing to spirit? Living in your spiritual self today. And then the fruit from the tree becomes what happens in the material world tomorrow. It's the evidence that today you lived in the spirit. Now, 2 hours after you have found some kind of spiritual release, you'll find you're back in the Peter consciousness. You're not even aware of yourself as spirit. You fall into another trap, and there's some feeling within you that there's something you need or desire or want. Now, every desire is another division. Every desire is another sign of duality. Every want, every wish, every hope, every time you seek something materially, you are stepping out of your spiritual identity. Every time you accept a material appearance, you're stepping out of your spiritual identity. There is a place in spiritual identity where the humanness of you all disappears. Even the mind of you disappears. You actually cease to be. And when you reach that point, you'll know you have found yourself. Where you totally cease to be, and yet there is a consciousness. It's not conscious of form. It's not conscious of condition. It's not conscious of the day or the time. It's not conscious of the place. You cease to be as a person. It may be an instant or 10 seconds, but you cease to be, and you know you cease to be. There's no person there anymore. And the infinite flows, and it is you. You are that infinite spirit flowing. Now that is the state of consciousness in which the entire universe and your kingdom are one and the same. That is your kingdom. When the only barrier that is here, which is you, is lost, and the infinite nature of being is found. You don't conquer the world like we've been trying to do humanly. Instead of conquering the world, you conquer yourself. When you conquer your human self, you find you have conquered the world. You don't conquer a disease, you conquer your belief in it. You don't conquer a bad business, you conquer your belief that there is such a thing. Always the perfection of spirit without an opposite present is your living consciousness, and this is conquering the human self. What is truth? The truth is that you are truth. Your spiritual self is the only truth. In our final meditation, for those of you who won't be able to get up at 6 a.m., let's just dwell in the nowness of our spiritual selfhood everywhere, knowing that our spiritual selfhood is in Holland at this moment. Holland is in us at this moment. We won't have to wait till next Sunday to be spiritually alive where the world calls Holland. Right now, the spirit of our being is the only spirit in the universe. We are the living spirit of all those who will appear in Holland at a meeting. There's nothing there but our spirit now. It is the one infinite invisible spirit. That is my kingdom, my being. It is not of this world. It is all that is present. And when there ceases to be an ocean between us or forms between us, and you feel the nowness of your being, to you Holland is here. The one invisible spirit, present everywhere. And the law of that spirit is the harmony of being. Without the actual experience of it within you, though, you don't have a realization and there's no power. So you must wait until there is a realization within you. When you have it, you will know that you have attained the contact, the dropping out of humanhood into the spiritual self. And then the power of self must manifest. I am the only life in the universe. Beside my life, there is no other, and my life is the life of God. You're one with the entire spiritual universe as the Spirit descends upon you. It is done. Thank you so much.